Day it is alive to be alive in the kingdom of our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a day! This is a day that whatever is facing, whatever you're going through, whatever you're walking through, He is more than enough, my friend. He is a healer, provider, savior, redeemer, rescuer. He is a reviver. Whatever you need, He is more than enough. June the 19th. Welcome in on this Wednesday morning. Surprise rain last night for a lot of us. I didn't expect that storm whatsoever last night. I went to Walmart with my wife, and we went to a store or two in Litchfield, and I had left the tractor mower out and my windows down in my truck because I didn't even know it was supposed to storm. And lo and behold, everything got soaking wet.
Wow.
But it was pouring. I don't know. Was you outside when it started storming?
I think I was out there when it was raining. I don't think I remember a storm much last night.
Oh my gosh, we were eating at the Mexican restaurant right there by Walmart, and
what time was it?
6:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere in there. And I was walking in Walmart, and we got soaked.
I think I remember it rained because I was in Big Clifty when all that came happening. Yeah. So I don't remember it stormed there. It just rained.
Oh, it stormed. Okay. On the way home, I saw some branches down. I saw a big tree down in one yard. It was like this little surprise pop-up storm, and it had wind blowing and everything else. Jackson ran to the Walmart inside, and I was like, I didn't even know you could run, son.
Now, summer gets pretty wild sometimes with these pop-up storms can be bad.
I mean, we needed it, though. It was dry. Like, I hate to say that because we were complaining about the rain 3 weeks ago. But it's surprising how dry it got so quick. Like, we was mowing yesterday, and it was just a dust field.
What is this heat, man? It's drying up everything. It's drying me up. Whew,
yeah.
That's hot.
But being in the rain yesterday really made me think about this polar bear shark fight because it was just so wet. And me, I'm more team bear than I've ever been in my life, just for everybody to know. Team to polar bear. All right. You haven't heard this, Jacob? Oh, my gosh, we've been on this for 2 weeks. If a polar bear and a great white shark fight in 6 foot of water, who wins? 12-foot great white shark versus a 9-foot polar bear.
Well, I don't know. A shark has to have a certain amount of water. If he's that big, he's probably not going to move very fast.
Yeah, and his element of attack, his surprise of coming from underneath is gone. The polar bear just has to punch him in the nose or swipe him in the nose.
6 foot of water.
Maybe that bear from Bear Creek's going to come and help tag in.
Yeah.
And so, well, I'm team polar bear. Team apex polar predator, bear. Predator. Let's go.
Dr. Grady's team shark.
Yeah, he don't count. he can take his doctorate somewhere else.
team shark. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think if the shark's too big, he's not going to move very fast in that 6 foot of water. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now 12 foot.
Now, if you go underwater, he's probably going to take the bear.
Depends.
He's going to be faster.
Depends.
He's a lot quicker.
Depends. In the 12 foot of water, is there somewhere the polar bear can jump off of on top of the great white shark?
I just think the mouth of the shark is going to be a lot bigger
Because, like, if it jumped from behind onto the back, the shark does not have the ability to reach all the way back. It's going to look like me You know, it's like.
So, now, I will agree, if there's no water, the polar bear wins.
Well, anyways, we need to pray for them. team polar bear still. It was a great, pretty day yesterday. We saw God moving in some mighty ways, had the opportunity to see God do some amazing stuff in a young man's life, and that was always – it's always amazing to see God doing extraordinary things. And so just what He's doing now, He's pouring out His Spirit, folks. And there is – I want to address this very carefully because I don't want to bring names into the picture. I do not want to bring names into the picture. But one thing I guess I want to do, let's just do this because there's some high-profile ministers more falling right now. And I'm not bringing names into it because that's, y'all know that's never my heart. My heart is for prayer.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But there seems to be some. I mean, we've known this is coming. Judgment first starts in the house of the Lord, and we always must remember the mercy of which we have is the mercy that we will receive. Right? I mean, we always got to remember that. Like, and do we call out sin? Absolutely. But I think we should be careful. Kevin Wallace said this. I'm going to read Kevin Wallace what he said. I think this is great, but it's long. It's not a paragraph. It's long. So I'm going to read it. I have no axe to grind. I refuse to build any part of my life on shaming or slandering others. Thus, I will not mention any names. In fact, this post is about the posture of my heart and those observing the shaking happen in the body of Christ. I write this to remind and caution all of us to, number one, examine yourself to make sure you are in the faith. If there is a winter's chill, an absence of fire, a cold darkness in you, cry out to God and rekindle the flame within. No more coasting clergy, living off a ministry momentum that had 20, 30 years ago. Sweep the ashes off the altar and lay the fresh sacrifice of your heart there, and God will send his fire. Number two, consider yourself, your propensities, your bend towards sin. Confess your utter desperation for the grace and mercy of God, and know that if you don't think you can fall, you are operating the kind of pride that most certainly guarantees you will fall. Galatians 6. Number three, those calling for vengeance, exposure, and judgment should be mindful that the measure of mercy you mete out to others will proportionally measure back to you. Don't misinterpret mercy as condoning the sin. We need a call to integrity without the haughty legalism condemning tone of Pharisees. Number four, prepare the fire of God to strike a purified and purged pulpit. I am not hopeless or in despair. A jealous groom is wanting a spotless bride and will have it. Oh God, for the grace to be cleansed and pure. Number five, we can observe the shaking and come to one to two conclusions. A, I am holier than others and better than them. Or B, have mercy on them, O God, and let me draw closer to thee. Number six, take no refuge in your ministry success. Our followers are not the fruit of holy living. We have raised a generation of clergy who interpret popularity as validation. It is not. Oh, that humble hearts would yearn for him. Seven, pray for leaders. Love and peace. Bishop Kevin Wallace. I think that was so well written when I read it last night. Because whenever these things start to happen and profile and accusations and all these things are making, and of course, like, we know some other high-profile ministries that are now shutting down because what happened just in the last year, and a lot of other things come out. And yes, we are well aware this isn't like a pastor who struggled watching some on the internet. These are really high-profile issues. Not saying internet's not bad, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't, these are really high-profile issues that are coming out. And in these, the body of Christ, we've talked about this before, more than centering in and escalating and talking about this and their failures, I think it's always a time to inspect our own hearts. Lord, if there be anything in us, get it out. And if we cared as much about our holiness as we do other people's, I think the church would be radically different. And I just loved what Kevin said there, you know, take this opportunity to inspect our own propensities towards sin and our own issues and our own heart. And whenever that gets out, then we can start getting the speck out of a brother eye. But until we get our plank out of our own. And so,
at the end of the day, I feel like the church tries to be their own. They're leaning on their own stuff. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Most of the church is, you don't hear nothing about people talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost anymore and fire. And there goes back to that scripture. It's been just the core foundation. I'm like, we can't do church without the Holy Spirit, and churches has done it for so long. And that's why we're starting to see sin creep back in to people, or it's just being exposed. They've been good at hiding it for a long time. I mean, but at the end of the day, like Aaron says, we search our own hearts. But in order for you to search your heart, you have to have the Holy Spirit to do that. You can reflect on your own self and try to get things out, but the Holy Spirit starts to reveal things that you may not even know, mm-hmm. things that are deep and that maybe you've even hidden yourself and forgot about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many have, the churches have gone where they went. I mean, they've got good at doing church, but it's not the kingdom of God. They've mm-hmm. just done the religious system of what we call church today. And it's like 3 points in a poem. They do the same thing at every church. Everybody has the same thing going on. And God does have a remnant. The Lord's been talking to me about the remnant. He says, I still have a remnant that's not bowed their knee to Baal. And I'm like, are you going to be part of that remnant? That's that, mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like what we've been seeing a lot lately is people are starting to really just seek the Lord here, especially here. I've seen that searching our own selves. Mm-hmm. And people know that we can't do this without God, the Holy Spirit. This is the reason we come here. But what has happened is that man has turned to their own self. You know, they've turned into their own, we can build this massive ministry. We can build these things, you know, without the Holy Ghost, and they've done it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're seeing big-time leaders fall, because...
Well, I think it goes back to Corinth, is that they had started to abuse the Lord's Supper, which is basically, in essence, starting to take advantage of what God's doing.
Yeah.
And again, like Rick preached a couple weeks ago, the word does tell you to judge yourself so God doesn't have to.
Yeah.
And that's just something we have to do. And if we judge ourselves, the Lord doesn't have to judge us. Because if we judge ourselves, we'll repent and we'll call out in desperation and mercy and grace, and the Holy Spirit will move mightily. And there's a lot of things. Like, everybody knows I'm not the three songs and a sermon guy. But it's not so much about what's just like that. An average church service in America, I think was like 1 hour and 40 something minutes. Like that's the average church service. So the problem is that people are acting like a Christian for 1 hour and 40 minutes, and then the other 166 hours and 15 minutes, they're out.
It's like they're putting their dues in.
Yeah, because there's 168 hours in a week.
Mm.
And that 1.5 hour does equip, but it's just as much what you do the other 166 that you do that 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Sure. And it's all coming together, and there is judgment that first comes to the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, that just like anybody else, like with a brain and seeing who the Lord is, that should drive us to our knees. Yeah. That should drive us to a place of prayer, of fear and trembling, like, Lord, have mercy on me. If there's anything in my heart, if there's anything that needs to get rid of, if there's anything that needs to be judged in my life, because, you know, like I get it. Like, I mean, some people, will the Lord purify his bride? Absolutely. Should we want that? Absolutely. And should we pray for exposure in a sense? Yes, but I think some of it get a little too happy with it. I think it excites some people. Yeah. And I think some people's got an adrenaline hit off them, and they become the exposure police, and that's what they want their whole prayer. God, expose this. God, expose this. And what is the prayer behind the exposure? Just so sin can be shown, or that sin can be fixed? Yeah. Because if your prayer for exposure is just for people to be exposed, then you're I would say it like Jesus said to the other disciples, you don't know what spirit you're of at that point.
True.
Because if exposure happens, exposure should only happen with the hope of reconciliation and repentance. That should be the hope of everybody. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's been people that me and Jacob have listened to music and sermons for years that have fallen in the last year.
Yeah.
There's one of the high-profile people that just fell out. I've listened to him quite a bit.
Me too.
Over the years. And our hearts, like, there is this moment, and we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to spend all morning, but there is that moment of hurt. Like, you're hurt, kind of like, oh, my gosh. Not, But there has to be a prayer and a hope for repentance and reconciliation. And that's not saying, I hope he gets back in ministry or she gets back in ministry. This is, no, I hope they get right. I hope their heart is restored.
Yeah.
And while God's restoring their heart, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that will take me down that road, remove it now. Yeah. Remove it.
If this doesn't break your heart, though, then, I mean, I'm broken over seeing this happen. And I know God's doing it for the better, for people can see the error of their ways. But it breaks my heart to see this, because what I'm beginning to see a lot, if majority of these are sexual sins, and it's happening prevalent in the church. And I remember you used to preach on about the biggest industry that we have that people go to is porn sites. It's the $1 billion industry. I mean, it should never be, but it is. And it ain't just non-believers. We're talking about believers who are struggling. And not just that, just, you know, sleeping around with people. I mean, it's just like, it's become like an astropole that is in the Bible, and how we need to break this. And if we don't, believers don't bond together and stop trying to make us feel better about somebody, you know, about ourselves, because maybe you're not struggling with that, but these people are. And it's, and it, at the end of the day, when big leaders fall, it hurts people, and it really puts a bad taste in people's mouths. It really does. Yeah. So,
well, where the church sometimes fails at, and I'm trying to stop talking just about how, like, people's really critical and hard on the church, man. Like,
I know.
It's just like, it gets me more and more all the time. Like, do I realize the church needs some repentance and some fixing? Absolutely. Yeah. But let's just stop harking on people all the time. I'm like, the amount of condemnation and weight and guilt and shame we're placing on people for not being good enough, it's pharisaical at this point. We need to upbuild. We need to build up. Like, you can do this. Like, I sat across from somebody last night, and I gave them hard words. I said some really hard things to it, but I didn't tear them down. I said, man, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm behind you. I know God's created you for such a day as this. Like, you got a choice to make. Is it this path or this path? And I was very straightforward with these paths, but I was not tearing them down. I was like, man, we can do this.
Yeah.
And I was, like, behind them. And but in this whole area, like, one thing we do fail is a lot of times we've created this, like, pornography has a grip on this nation.
It does.
Absolutely. Preachers, Christians, it's grips. It's grips. Unbelievers, it doesn't matter at this point. It's grips. If we could get into the life and the reason sexual sin with the hands and other parts are so prevalent is because that pornography is a seed. It's a seed.
Yeah.
And if we can get that fixed in that area, and we can open it up and start to see people experience real freedom, you fix a lot of this adultery. You fix a lot of this going out. You fix a lot of these child industry. You actually, if you can eliminate pornography, then you've probably fixed the child sex trafficking in a major way. You won't completely eliminate it, but it'll take a shot.
What? Let me ask you something, what you think. And like I said, I'm trying not to stay on this either, but accountability and how it's such a secret sin. It really is. It's such a secret. If people would be able to talk to others about it without condemnation,
we could get freedom.
We could get freedom. Mm-hmm. Because people don't, oh, my goodness, can you believe what he did?
Yeah.
That's where we're at. Nobody talks about it because everybody is afraid that somebody might look down on them, and that's where we're at.
When I was in college, in the women's ministry, or it was student-led completely, ladies' ministry that I did, we did a exercise where we, like, took note cards, and they were anonymous, and everybody wrote things that they needed prayer for or, like, they needed freedom from, and then they put them in the middle. So nobody knew who wrote what, but so many of those women wrote down pornography.
Yeah.
And it was literally, for me, coming from the background that I came from, I was, thank God, spared from that. Like, I never was exposed to it. And I was always taught that it was more of a male struggle. Mm-mm. And then I go to college, and I see all these girls my age, and I'm reading these, and I'm supposed to be a leader of this group, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I was shocked. I was shocked that they were all my age and younger. And there were so many of them that were addicted.
Mm. Statistically, it used to be 2 males to 1 female. And now I think it's just about equal now.
Yeah. I mean, it has, to be honest, it doesn't care what gender you are.
No.
It don't care. Satan doesn't care. If he can hook, line, and sinker you, he's going to.
Yeah.
It don't matter what you are.
And it's the seed. Yeah. It's the starting point. And that's what the enemy's discovered. But you got to remember, I mean, how many times you heard me teach this Alice Bailey's 10-point plan to destroy? This is in it.
That's true.
In the 1900s, this was the plan of the enemy.
And for us, the church to endorse it.
Yeah. And get entangled with it. And then if you go back to James Dobson interview with Ted Bundy, who was an infamous serial killer and did horrific things, he said it all started with pornography.
Yeah.
If he could, if somebody could reach into his life. And when you say pornography, it doesn't have to necessarily be a website.
No, because his was like his was a magazine,
yeah. Like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit on the side of the sidewalk that caught his eye at a young age, and he never recovered. Mm. And everything that happened from that. That's what he told him. And then as you interview more serial killers in prison, it starts from that desire that's birthed, and it's just like James tells us, what desire gives birth to sin, and sin to death. And the pornography business does make more money than MLB, NBA, and the NFL put together each year.
That is wild.
But it's the seed. It's the seed, and you know, it's rampant. It's more prevalent than we could ever imagine, because you think about it, even if you're not visiting a specific website, some of the favorite television shows for people are basically have pornographic scenes. True.
And now Instagram, Facebook,
all
of these social media sites, they purposefully try to pop up things
and
to get to reel people in and then get them to keep looking at that same content.
Because it triggers. It triggers.
Do you think, too, like, this is my opinion, but I think that's why we're seeing a rampant of homosexuality and transgenderism.
Oh, yeah.
Is because of the seed that was planted years and years ago. If you go back and look up a story on Hugh Hefner and who he followed and how it was something that he captivated, some weird teaching from some guy that was, a pedophile. I'll get out. And he changed the culture in America that really predominantly head down the path to change these things. And it's wild. It'll open your eyes up how the history of how it became even worse than it, you know. They might have had instances back in the 40s and 50s, but it really started ramping up when Hugh Hefner went to college and he started just putting the magazines, and then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And then we have the internet come along, and then it just was a downhill spiral. Mm-hmm. And nobody tried to really tackle it, because it was one of those things that it captivated people's thoughts and minds, and they didn't know what to do with it, because nobody tried to stop it, you know. And it just kept growing. It's still growing.
Yeah.
And it's astronomical now. But we have to, the scripture that keeps coming to mind is, if we walk after the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did the church stop walking after the Spirit, that we couldn't break this bondage, you know, that people are in? I mean, it's really bondage. Most of these people don't even want to be doing it. And if you talk to somebody who struggles with it, they don't want to be in it. They're like, it's like they're mm-hmm. enslaved, and they want to get out, mm-hmm. and they try to get out, and they may get a little freedom, and then they fall back right into it, because it's like it's a cycle.
All of these girls grew up in church, and they were still in church. Yeah. So that was another reason I didn't expect it. But I mean, it's just prevalent. And, you know, we had to talk about, like, they had to talk about how their whole life has to be different, because they have to make sure that they're not alone. Like, they have to set up boundaries to where they're not in isolation. They have to make sure they're around, have accountability. And that was the major thing, was like, they would tell me, like, I can't be alone.
Absolutely. Mm. And I think that, I mean, like, the society's not going to stop pushing it because it's money. It's a stream of revenue for so many people. And so that's where we're going to have to pray that the strong code and really what it ultimately is purity and, you know, these desires of the flesh. If we walk in the spirit, like, we have this choice every single day.
That's true.
Like, if you feel a lust of the flesh, it doesn't mean you're never going to walk in the spirit again. It means for that moment, you chose your path. Yeah. You have this path. Like, and this is what I don't think we teach well. Like, we think walking in the spirit is like the spirit just kind of picks you up and you just drift and it's so angelic. It's like, woo! But it's purposeful. To walk in the spirit is on purpose. You're waking up that morning and saying, today I'm going to walk in the spirit. Today I'm going to get into the word. Today I'm going to surround myself with Christian fellowship. Today I am going to have worship music playing. Today I'm going to watch only godly things. Because these desires of the flesh are going to be taken this way. So you have this choice to make. You really do. Like, and at the end of the day, is it the enemy and them tempting you? Is it this putting it? Like, absolutely, you got these spiritual warfares, but this decision to walk in the spirit or this decision to fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's yours. And nothing's going to make you do it. Like, I do feel the bondage. Like, I know what you're talking about there. I know what bondage feels like. I know what addiction feels like. I know what it likes. I know what that's like. But at the end of the day, even through that, I did have a decision to make.
True.
And like, I've counseled with a lot, and I'm like, you know, if there's something in your life that's triggering or something like that, turn on worship music. Like,
exactly.
It's hard to cuss somebody out or watch something inappropriate or do something bad when you got worship music playing in the background.
That's true.
If you need to text me or call me, like, text me or call me. Like, I am like one of the most, and I'm being honest, like, it doesn't sound like it when I'm preaching. I know it doesn't sound like what I'm preaching, but when you're around me, I'm probably one of the most least judging people.
Yeah,
I hope I am, at least. Like, I just don't. I'm not going to talk down on you. What I want to do is build you up and say, let's do this. Let's get over this. Let's move past this. We can do this. I am not going to sit across from a table and say, oh my God, I cannot believe you just did that. That is like, it's there are, if they're coming to me to talk to me, they already know that. Like, my job is to say, how do we overcome this? Like, what choice are we going to make now? Like, and
it's like, I just been feeling, I was like, we need to fall in love with the beauty of holiness again.
Absolutely.
The beauty of holiness, because people are looking for what is holy and what, you know, all they see, and I hate saying it, but the church has not shown that to people.
See, that's something. Is a lot of these, even these girls, and I know more people too, like, I've been in a part of churches that there were so many awesome things about the churches that they were doing well, but the thing that they weren't was teaching holiness. And I think that's the reason why a lot of us were comfortable in our sin. We were comfortable in certain sins. Like, we were growing in certain areas, but there was just sin that was never talked about, never addressed. And I think that whenever we start to teach holiness and teach, like, you know, it might not start with the website. It might start with the movie, like you were talking about. Those are the things that I think are missing, because there's a lot of compromise in a lot of churches. And some churches are doing awesome in so many, like, outreach and community. Like, they have everything. They have so many amazing things, but they're compromised in teaching the holiness and teaching what's the root of the issues that people are going through.
Yeah,
you're touching on some stuff that I've been really studying. I've been studying on the seven churches. So I know we got to go to break.
Oh, but, and Revelation.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I'm like, the Lord's been showing me some stuff with these churches and how it's prevalent in the body right now. And everybody's dealing with their own thing. You might be dealing with different things at these different churches in this land. But it's been really good study. Yeah. Just,
well, I know that the average age of exposure used to be 11 or 12. Now, statistically, that average age of exposure is 4 to 6 is when they're first exposed. Jason says the average age of first time addiction is beginning to be around 9 years old.
True.
And I know that's lowering where they're addicted. A lot of that's because of cell phones and tablets. And, and I think that it's an epidemic, without a doubt.
Well, vapes are a very big contributor to what Jason's talking about, especially like I know they really have to monitor on like buses at the with the public school system, and yeah. they literally had a class in the middle school, a recovery for middle schoolers.
Yeah.
Vape recovery class.
Wow. Yeah. And I think that the church, I think the church preaches against it a lot. I mean, I really haven't heard many churches, a few sporadic pastors maybe say, I've heard like one or two pastors start to idea like, you know, is it bad? Is it this? Okay. That's not even, there has no substance of validity to that conversation.
Yeah.
All right. What the church has to do is not just preach about
how the bad it is,
but let's start healing.
Yeah.
And let's, because if we can start eliminating this issue and start healing and getting delivered from this issue, a lot of other issues begin to fall off.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. Sure. Like it's the gateway.
Yeah.
Because what Ted Bundy said is his desire stopped being fulfilled with it.
Yeah.
But those desires kept growing as he kept feeding.
True.
And then he moved on to other things. But if you the inception was the pornography. And if the church can start attacking that aggressively in lives, in homes, and growing together with, you know, like much prayer, being able to be open about this kind of stuff without just, oh my gosh, they're going to kick me out of the church.
Yeah.
Like we got to quit. People's got to quit thinking they're going to get kicked out of the church because they sin anyways. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like the only reason that guy was removed from the church at Corinth was because he refused to repent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he refused openly. Like I'm going to continue this inappropriate relationship with my stepmother, mother-in-law, whichever Greek word you want to use there, something here. I'm not going to quit doing this.
Yeah.
It wasn't a guy who was like, oh, I want to be free, man, but I just can't. Oh, my gosh, I messed up again last week or last month.
Yeah.
Like, this is not him. This guy was open, and he was like, I'm not stopping. And there's a huge difference there. Because if you want freedom, I'll walk with you, man.
Yeah.
I don't care if you fall 773 times. I'll keep walking with you.
That's why I keep telling people. I was like, it don't matter if you fall. Get back up.
It's not excusing the fall.
No.
And it's not condoning the falling. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to quit on you. Because you know what? There's a Father in heaven who's not quit on me yet.
That's right.
And that's the beautiful picture, is that this is a journey that you are not going to be the Superman of holiness tomorrow. But I want to look more like Jesus today than I did yesterday, and I want to look more like Jesus tomorrow than I do today.
That's true.
In the words of Pastor Darren. And that's the beautiful thing, is holiness is a journey, and we're all on it. And we should all be on it as believers, growing more Christ-likeness every single day. And we've got to stop being the only body that kills its own wounded. Galatians 6:1.
That's good.
All right. I don't even know where my trivia questions are. I findeth themeth. All right. Wednesday question number one. What act did Paul perform on Timothy according to Jewish customs? What act did Paul perform on Timothy according to Jewish customs? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. On the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, there you go. We are back here. Dwayne Kidd got that correct. It is circumcision. How'd you like that, Hannah?
I liked it.
Everybody's always asking me for a little hip-hop every once in a while. Is that hip-hop? Is that considered? I'm so uncool. I don't even know the difference between a hip and a hop. So,
throw a hip out of place.
I don't know. That's what somebody said. That was hip hop. So there it is. That's as much hip hop as I got.
Yeah, it's good.
I did do good day. It's gonna be a good day?
Yeah, the guy who does that one and the guy who did that one, they do collabs.
What's collab?
We're so out of the lingo.
Collabs. Do we ever collab, Jacob?
I never heard of it.
A collaboration.
A collab. Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You got to quit. Y'all got to quit using these Generation Z words with us, because it's like I said Sunday. You know, somebody saying they like my fit, and I really had no idea. I thought.
Everybody laughed at that a lot.
What was they laughing at? Was they laughing at, like, the belly? Probably. Or were they laughing I didn't know what a fit was?
I mean, you didn't know what a fit was, because I told Savannah that, and she said, "You're joking." I'm like, no.
Well, I mean, like, I don't, like, somebody said bet one time. I'm like, what are you betting on? You know, like, I don't know these words anymore.
Why
did you change the letter? I mean, that don't even make sense, you know?
Yeah, I was like, where's, like, Cooley?
Well, I mean, you all say, like, people say, I bet you won't do this. That's normal.
Yeah.
Right. But they're shortening it. They're turning things into slang. So instead of saying, I bet you won't, just bet.
Hannah, somebody wants to know who's singing that song. I told them, I don't know.
Hulvey.
Hulvey?
Hulvey. Hulvey.
I've heard of it.
Sounds like a horse foot.
It's like making a names like the Bible does. I say, we can't say some of the names in the Bible. Now they're going back.
Wasn't there a guy on Peter Pan Hook called Hoofio or something?
I have no idea.
He grew up to be Hoofy. You've seen Hook. Come on. Hoofio.
I'll be honest, I never watched Hook all the way through.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen pieces of it.
Hoofio's one that was leading the Lost Boys. Hoofio.
Hoofio. I'll be honest, most time when I sit down to do something like that, I fall asleep every time.
Hoofio grew up to be Hoof. Hoofy or Hoof?
Okay, can I ask, was that a younger person or a...
It was Jason Lee. He was wanting to know.
Oh, cool.
So it's Hoofio.
So young, we'll still consider him young. Is he like, I don't know.
Congratulations, Jason. You're young.
You can still be young.
I like Christian Rip sometimes, but my favorite one's Isaiah Robbins. He's my favorite.
No more witches.
Yeah. My favorite Christian rapper is
Lecrae.
I don't know.
KB.
Who's KB?
I don't know who. KB Toys?
Not today.
That was one in the movie. I mean, that's in the mall, right? The KB Toys used to be in the mall.
Not today, Satan.
What's that song?
Was
that a name of a song?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just on a shirt. I've learned all kind of new stuff today.
Not today.
I think he does the Lord of Angel Armies remix.
Yeah,
Lord of Angel Armies. I
feel like I'm gonna walk out of this progress as one of cooler than I came into it.
Aaron, you're gonna have to flatten that bill out a little bit on your hat. If you want
to
be cooler,
I don't even want to try to risk it.
Look, if you want to
cool
be
cool, people don't do that anymore.
If you want to be cooler, when you need to ride with Ethan and Dalton with their songs cranked all the way up.
I want to be cool, not deaf.
Well, back in the day, I mean, we had they don't do that much anymore. We used to ride around with big systems in our cars.
Yeah, and we also thought we was cool because we drove in a circle around town and spent gas for 33 minutes.
Hey, that's when gas was cheap, man.
3 hours. What'd you do on a Saturday night? Well, I drove to Taco Bell, then I drove back to the square, then I drove back to Taco Bell. What'd you do during that time? I revved my engine and played my music loud.
Yeah.
And waved at a couple people. I'm like, now that sounds like a great Wednesday night. I was playing golf on the range practicing.
And waved at a couple people.
That was our social media, was going in your car and going around trying to find somebody.
What about Walmart parking lot hangout?
I don't know. That's happening now a lot for some reason.
Did that happen when y'all were younger?
No. We weren't allowed to back then.
What do
they call them?
Well, I bet they're going to start running them off because there's donut circles all around where they park.
Oh, they call them something. It starts with a Y.
Oh, they haven't said a name?
Yes.
Man, we didn't have
it. It's like a country sound.
We weren't very cool then.
Oh my gosh. I can't think of it. I think it's Yee Yees or something.
Probably. Oh, that sounds like that's the, what's his name?
Miss Sierra said, listen, when Cody and I want to get out of the house, we drive around the square to Taco Bell and back all the time.
Oh, I was right. Sierra, she's on it today. She said it is Yee Yees.
Okay, I'm thinking
Yee Yees.
Yee Yees.
That's wild.
I thought that was like some kind of shoe or something.
No, that's Yeezy.
Oh.
Ain't that Yeezy? That's something that, what's his
that's
name?
That's Yeezys.
That's a copyright infringement right there.
Oh, man.
Look, if me and Heather's going to drive around, it's going to go find these bears that's around Grayson County. We want to see those.
I don't. I'm thinking it's going to be in my backyard because it was right in my backyard at Bear Creek. I mean, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump from me.
When I was younger, I didn't like to ride around town with my grandma because, and we would, she would watch us a lot, but she was so funny. She would always be joking about something, and we'd be riding in the back, and she would see like teenage boys or just young boys at McDonald's, say, or Walmart, and she would do things like, "Hey, these girls think that you're cute." Like, she would say that, and then we'd get so embarrassed, and we'd hide our head in the car.
Oh my God. I like her.
I gotta tell you this real quick. I know we go. I embarrass Kirsty and them all the time. Not really Kirsty, but the kids. I'll roll down all the windows and I'll turn on Bluegrass Gospel because I like Bluegrass Gospel.
Come on.
And the kids will be like, "I'm going to see my friends," and I'll turn it up real loud.
Jason Lee said it's a yee yee truck gang.
Yep.
Truck gang?
So now we got a gang.
Oh, man.
Didn't know Litchfield had
and plus
that.
Plus, they got these trucks, man. They driving them like, I can't even afford them trucks they're driving, some of them. I'm like, that is wild.
Well, Ethan has
$70,000 trucks.
He has a, well, I won't say that on there.
Well,
he has an opinion about people who check out the trucks.
Anyways, before Hannah gets us in trouble with the, let's see here. Well, there is one. Do you remember that one time? And we'll move on to something spiritual.
Yeah, spiritual, yeah.
Because everybody keeps texting me about this. I have
about
a lot of,
what?
Let's see here. That one time we were in Five Star parking lot, it was me, you, and Braden, and I rolled all the windows down.
Oh my God!
And a bunch of people was there. A bunch of young people was there, and I rolled all the windows down and turned on Barbie Girl. And I was in my truck, and Braden, I didn't know you'd get that low in a truck. Braden. And so it's just like me and Jacob cruising through Five Star with Barbie Girl because you can't see Braden.
Poor Braden.
I forgot what I was even doing in town. All right. Let's go Kingdom Corner Rescue this. Let's segue back into something positive instead of the yee-yee gang.
What were the texts about, though? Was it about the Walmart thing?
Well, they're the yee-yee gangs. Their devil might be in the sweatshirt. Sierra Higdon on...
Oh, maybe they're talking about not
the,
today,
the cruising.
Satan.
I am sorry, Sierra. When you get out with kids, it's permissible. You just got to breathe sometimes. I get that. then that was, there were some other things about earlier's conversation. So I didn't get to, but...
I feel like earlier's conversation was good, so I kind of hope we get back to it. But okay, Kingdom Corner... Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. So, it's ESV. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? But by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And this just goes along exactly with what we were talking about earlier, with the compromise that's in the church. Because he's saying to us, we don't have to continue in sin. And, you know, there are things. There's, you know, generational curses. There's healing and trauma that people go through, that Christians go through. Mm-hmm. And often opens up the door to these sins. And a lot of times sin ends up being a crutch or a comfort instead of the Lord. That's common. But Paul is saying here that we can have a different identity. We can have a different mindset about this. Because I think a lot of people, when they start to sin or when they do turn to sin for comfort, they have this idea that that's like, that's their identity. And that's just their struggle. Like, they just claim the struggle and think, well, I'm just, this is my thing. This is my sin that I'm just going to struggle with. And again, there are things that constantly entice us and we do struggle. But I'm talking more of people who choose to sin and don't fight. As Aaron has said a lot, you know, do you have a fight in you when it comes to these sins? And that's kind of what I see here is, you know, ones who are comfortable in their sin and use it as have excuses for it because of, well, this is something that my family, we struggle with, or this is what, this is just the thing that, you know, just using it as an identity, if that makes sense. And there's some things that aren't, that are more accepted. That's the thing. Yeah. There's some sins that are a lot more accepted by the church than other ones, like gossip, like these, you know, other sins that aren't maybe as outward, like addiction. And but honestly, food addiction is pretty accepted. there's certain addictions, shopping addiction, that's real.
It's true.
Financial things. it's real. But there's certain things that are just, we just accept it. And I think that Paul's saying here, I mean, we have to fill in the blank of what that sin is in our life.
Yeah.
But he's saying that we were buried with Christ in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in the newness of life. So he's saying that even though we have this, we're in this body, we are made new. And it's just, it's an encouraging scripture because we don't ever have an excuse. We don't have an excuse to remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a fight. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be falling and getting back up, but we cannot remain the same because when we're born again, we are made new. He's saying this here, that we have went through the same process that Christ did, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And then we have the hope that we will be united with him. And those are for the ones who didn't give up, who kept the course, who kept just moving forward. I think that's the thing with, we get so weighed down and we think that we have to, we get caught up in religion or we get caught up in condemnation. But what the Lord is asking us to do is, and what Paul teaches us to do is to keep pressing forward. It doesn't say you have to run this fast.
Yeah.
You have to run exactly this speed on your race. It says keep pressing forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. That moving forward might just be a baby step. It might be little steps. As Ethan likes to make fun of me because his stride is a lot farther than mine. And I have to take like 5 steps to meet up with his one stride. And when we go to Walmart or something, he's like so far ahead of me. And I'm like, this looks so weird. You're all the way in front of me and I'm trying to catch up behind you. But that's the thing in the body of Christ, though. Like, we're not called to compare ourselves to the other person running beside of us. We have to find our own pace with the Lord. And the most important thing is that we're moving forward. So be encouraged if there's anyone who is just comfortable in sin because of the feeling that, well, I can't do any better, or I just don't have what it takes to move forward, or whatever the thought process is. The enemy and our flesh both comes up with some crazy and very irrational thoughts. But that's why we're called to take those thoughts captive and into the obedience of Christ, to make them obey Christ and his word. And we can do it. You can do it. Through Christ, you can do anything. Yeah. And it's good news that when you're born again, when we are born again, we're dead to ourselves. Even if we choose to resurrect the old man, that our spirit is still made completely new. So it's good news.
Mm. Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we are progressing forth this morning. Dwayne Kidd did get that answer right again earlier, so we're going to be moving into the next trivia question. Miss Jane Jackson, if you're listening, we still need an address to ship this book package to you. If you could text me at 270-230-6337, or you can call the station at 270-257-2689. Miss Hannah, do we have a guest this morning?
We do.
Who's that?
Heather Hodges is
Heather Hodges is coming in?
She's calling in, I think.
She's calling in?
I wish she'd come in. Because
I think she's in Louisville, yeah. But she is, she's off today, so she's able to call in.
Okay, all right.
I've been trying to get her on for a long time.
8:30?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
8:30. Okay, excellent.
I don't know if we have 30 minutes ain't going to be enough for Heather.
I know.
We should have told her 8:15.
Nope. We at the guidelines have come down from the top. It's 8 minutes now. all right, so no, just kidding. That's exciting. We're excited to have Miss Heather come in here this morning and call in, and we're excited for what God has for us. I don't know which route do you all want to go. You have a Bible question brought in, or you said you wanted to continue a conversation, and Jacob said he was studying something. So I'm up for anything. So I'm just
Did you still have some texts from our from that?
I cover most of them. Most of them. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to continue with this, it's something I've been just kind of looking over here, going back to 1 Corinthians 6:18. It's talking about sin against the body. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I think there's a lot to do with sexual immorality is something that is not talked about because somebody's been affected by it some way or somehow. If it was from a family member or your own life or somehow. And, you know, I think we don't see the implications and ramifications of what it's doing. And it's creating strongholds in our mind, body, and you open yourself up to a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Soul ties, that's a big deal. And I think that the Bible talks about a spirit of harlotry, is what the prostitution, basically. So I feel like we're getting into sinning against the body, mm-hmm. not just outwardly. Now you're doing things within that are harming things, that you're inviting things, and it's kind of like you're tying yourself to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, I'm just been kind of reading over stuff, that different scriptures, and it's just that right there to me is very dangerous, that it's a sin against the body, your own self. And mm-hmm. how Jesus, it says, you know, do not touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, in 6:17. I think that sometimes we have crossed over into, and it's kind of like Aaron says, you know, was it Ted Bundy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That said it started with pornography. What happened is he invited, like, things into him, basically. And it was, I remember, it maybe it been Jeffrey Dahmer that said that. He said that he was the same way. That they did an interview with him, I'm pretty sure that's the one I'm thinking of. And he said that he was into it. And then he did it so much that it didn't do anything for him anymore. So he had to go into deeper sin. And that became, he became like a, he would be a watch, he would go out and watch, and he would stare into people's homes. I mean, it was just like something that was just captivating him so much. And then it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And he kept going and until he wouldn't feel nothing anymore, he would keep going into deeper sin. And then it came into killing people. You know, it was just like, it was a step toward another. It kept getting worse.
That goes along with the verse we read in James.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is something that I think we need to really pray about, and maybe even fast about. I don't like that word, but I know we're supposed to do it, and it might be something we need to really pray about for the body in general, you know, and people that you know that maybe even be involved in stuff like that, and try to help them. And I think we need accountability groups. That we can, like Aaron said, you know, you can call him, but we need groups. You know, sometimes it's too much for just one person all mm-hmm. the time to be the one that everybody talks to.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need groups that can respond and talk to each other and give, you know, wisdom and mm-hmm. how they fought. I mean, sometimes this brother who's fought it and defeated it, he can offer you some, you know what I'm saying? He can offer you some ways to defeat these things.
And we have to also find a way to reach the, like, the teenagers and the younger generation mm-hmm. that are, like, still in school age. Because for some reason, we have to find a way to get the truth to them about these things. Because I know, like, most of them don't listen to their parents. I don't know why, but I mean, I was the same way. Like, and I've talked to many people who their parents would try to tell them the truth about to be cautious with certain things, but they don't take their parents serious.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's just a rebellious thing, or I don't know, that just is right there and in that age group. But a lot of people have told me, like, my mom tried to tell me, or my dad tried to tell me, but I didn't listen because I didn't take it seriously. I didn't think that. I thought, oh, well, they're just, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. So just, you know, maybe church, maybe groups like that, maybe that would be better. Or other people, you know, not so far away from their age, maybe people closer to their age that are,
yeah,
like, this is real, you guys. Like,
yeah,
there's real consequences for doing this, yeah, for sinning against your own body, because the thing is it's setting them up for pit after pit.
True.
That they're falling in. And you know, I would love to be able to help and catch someone when they're younger before they fall so many other times.
And another thing we're not talking about that can be involved with this is generational.
Yeah.
Generational curses are there, and it's time for us. Who's going to be that person that says, it ends with me?
Uh-huh.
It ends with my family. I'm going to defeat this, that my family struggle. And that goes across the board. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be sexual immorality. It could be all those things. But we have to be that person who says, I'm releasing the generational bloodline blessings and yeah, breaking the generational curses off my life.
Yeah.
And you have to have the tenacity, because you're going to go up against generational demons that's been in your family for years.
Yeah.
That you're going to have to go, and you can't do it alone. You're going to have to find some people who know how to pray, that know how to intercede, and you're going to have to really go to fight and war.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to let go. They're generational. They get stronger with each generation, because it's just like they call their brothers. And they're going to say, come on, we need help. We're not going to let this go. We're not going to release these people. You know, that's how the enemy works. And the more you give into something, the more stronger they're becoming in you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll find places to hide, and they'll find places to get. And so I think generational curses have to be broken, and we have to be the people that rise above it.
Amen.
All right. Well, we are at break time here. Wednesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. When did the manna cease for the Israelites? When did the manna cease for the Israelites? We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning. I don't have an answer yet for this trivia question. When did the manna cease for the Israelites?
Come on, Jeremy Stone.
270-257-2689. Amen.
Come on, Jeremy Stone. Get that question. You was telling me.
Come on, Jeremy. Let's go.
You've been answering them all. How many times can they be put into the drawing?
Twice every 2 weeks.
Twice every 2 weeks, Jeremy. So there you go.
See?
I said, you wanted to be in there every day for you to be the only one.
I don't have my glasses. They're still in my wife's van. But all right. Well, we are progressing forward here, moving in a little bit. Again, Heather Hodges will be on with us at 8:30 to chat with us. And then y'all were looking at some books and other things. And I know that we've talked a lot about this sexual sin and these things. And again, going back to all the way the very first of the conversation, it started with this talk of there's more high-profile ministers falling. I'm not saying names. It's enough on Facebook and media and news and everything like that. If you want to find out, you can find out. That's not my mission. My mission is this: that our prayer, no matter how horrendous or how awful sins are, we do need to pray for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The alleged victim, the everybody involved, because at the end of the day too, church people who are members of these people, churches, and has been pastored by them for 30 years, they're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of consequences of sin. There absolutely is. But we also cannot forget to pray for the person who's in the sin, that God would restore, revive, set free. And this is, again, what we've talked about so many times. You have the keys to open the kingdom or shut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't get to choose who deserves it or not, because at the end of the day, none of us deserve it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to answer this, see if it's a answer.
It's probably a trivia answer.
Box two radio.
Yeah, I think that's really true.
Hey.
And
hey, Brian.
I think that there's a lot of time when people are in sin, we got to remember not just to pray for the people that are in sin, but pray for their families.
Yes.
Because sin devours, and it hurts the people that are around that person, the family members, the friends, everybody. It's destructive.
Mm. Yep.
Can we pray?
Sure.
Let's pray for people who might be even dealing with something like this. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just come to you, though, to just honor you, God, and give you all the praise and glory, Jesus, and what you're doing in the midst, Father, right now. And Lord, I just pray for those out there that may be struggling in this, or maybe even just be touched by, maybe husbands or wives that even deal with this, Father God, and single people who I know that are struggling to be single and trying to find their way to be pure. God, I ask you, Father, that you just begin to just rest up on them and let them see the beauty of holiness and being pure. And Father, yes, God, we just ask you, Father, to let this be something in the body that just resonates throughout the church, that God, that holiness is what you require, God, and that God, that we get so captivated by your holiness that we don't want to even touch any of these things, God, that we walk after the Spirit, God, that we lean not on our own understanding, but we lean upon yours, because things that we may not understand, we may not know how to fight, but God, you do.
Yes.
And Father, in our weaknesses, you're made strong. God, I ask you, Father, to begin to break those generational curses, begin to break things, Father, off of people right now. God, I ask you, Father, just to let them get strategies on how to defeat these things, God. And Lord, I just ask you, Father, that you be with them and strengthen them. And Father, help them, God, in every area and every place that they may find weakness and struggle and in this bondage of sin, of perverseness. God, we just ask you, Father, to help them, that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he uses this to try to pull people into depression and anxiety and just in a place of defeat, God. But I ask you, Father, to put a tenacity around them, that God, if they do fall into sin, but that they should get back up. Father God, we just ask you, Father, to help them, God, to bring them forward and make them rise up, Father God, and defeat the enemy, God, that we will sound the alarm on your holy mountain, God, over this situation. And Jezebel shall not have her reign no more over people's lives, over the church, over those who are struggling, God. Empower them, God. Let the fire of God begin to just burn in their bellies, Father, for pureness and holiness, Jesus. We just ask you, Father, to do this in their lives, God, and break off those things. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I would say this, that a lot of the roots of sin and the giving of sin and just moving away just from one area just in a period does come back for believers back to the point of not fully understanding the gospel and how good the gospel is and what Jesus really did in our lives, and to understand the identity of who we are in Christ, and that we are new creatures, and that we are, it's not a second chance, it's a new life, it's and the gospel was not there just to get you into heaven. The gospel was there to give you victory, and that we're not defeated no more. Like, that's the Romans 6 is telling me. I'm not enslaved to sin no more. I'm alive. I'm Amen. Dead to sin and alive to Christ. And you don't have to walk in defeat. Like, there's nothing requiring you to walk in defeat. You have been made whole. You have been made right. And the cross was the way of victory. It was Amen. The power of God unto salvation. You are made whole.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we just have to get at people to understand their identity. And if they That's understand it. Our identity, then they understand who they really are in Christ. And they're struggling with something that's already defeated.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, we're trying to get people, like, this is something it's like we're trying to get people victorious, but yet they already are. We have to let them get the identity they already are.
That's true.
And because really it's a fallacy, it's a falsehood. They're seeing a shadow, and they're giving into the shadow. Mm-hmm. But that's not who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take every thought captive and submit it to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we have to bring everything into identity of who we are, sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Amen.
And a lot of times while we're yelling about things and making all these allure gestures, a lot of times it's an identity issue. It's mm-hmm. repentance. And repentance is not turning away from sin. Repentance is changing the way you're thinking.
Yeah, a lot of people that end up entering into the LGBTQ community and just, you know, going in different ways, being led astray, a lot of the things that they will say is that they just wanted acceptance. And they didn't know who they were. Like, because a lot of people, and especially when you're young, I mean, you're trying to search for identity. I mean, that's a principle in developmental psychology. Like, you're searching for that. Every single person is searching for that. And a lot of people don't know who they are. But that's because we only find who we are through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to find true identity. Yep. But yeah, most people are searching and will say the words of, I don't know who I am. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Because truly, they really don't. Yeah. It's like we talked about the other night, like, God is love. Well, what that is saying is that love doesn't exist outside of who God is.
Yeah.
That God is the reason for love.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to love until you first know the love of the Father. Mm-hmm. And you have a falsehood of love, and you have maybe emotions and everything, but you do not have love in its fullness until you first understand the love of God. And mm-hmm. so that's why so many marriages change radically after the spouses get born again.
Yeah.
Or that's why you may have had three divorces before, and then you get born again and radically changed by the glory of God, and then now you're in a marriage that's healthy and thriving. Mm. It's because you have changed, because you are a new creature.
Yeah.
And we've got to stop letting people think they're the same person.
Mm. Yes.
They're a new creature.
Amen.
And
old things are passed away and all things become new. I mean, Romans 6. It's at that thing where you resist the devil and he shall flee. It's easier said than done. I mean, but it's pretty simple, you know? And I tell people, it's like, sometimes you just gotta, when he comes into you and he starts talking and he starts putting all this stuff in your mind and he starts filling your head with all this junk, all he's trying to do is you to come in agreement with him. That's all he's trying to do. He knows he's defeated. He knows God's already defeated him. But if he can trick as many people as he can to try to come into his agreement, then he can put his snare upon you, and he can ensnare you into sin. So resist him, and he shall flee, because he has to. I mean, that's scripture.
Well,
so.
I would even push, and I know I make, you make this statement, and everybody gets mad about something usually, but if the church thought of Jesus as much as they think of the devil, we would be radically different.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about demons and devils more than we do the Father. 90% of the, and I mean, I know that because the church I grew up in, every morning there was a woman that got up. I don't want to get in anybody's way today, but I just got to testify. I'm like, all right, what did God do this week? The devil kicked my tail in the whole day. The devil did this to me. The devil did this to me. She would testify for 5 minutes and not say one thing about how good God was. So what are you testifying about, the devil or God? Like, which one are we going to do here?
True.
And does that mean we ignore the schemes of the devil? Absolutely not. Mm-mm. But here's what happens. When you start to get so close to him, these petty thoughts just start to fall off. Like, Damon Thompson one time said a long time ago, he said, the greatest thing the church needs is a theological inversion. And this theological inversion is make the devil as small as he is and make God as big as he is. Mm. And if we could get that, what would the church look like?
True.
Like, what would the church look like? And I do feel like there's a lot of times in the modern day church and the church of old, we talk so much about the antagonist of the story, we forget about the savior of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And every novel, every story has an antagonist. That's the bad guy. And Hollywood has taught us to feature on the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Christianity doesn't feature on the bad guy. Christianity said the bad guy has been defeated. Death, hell, and the grave has been defeated. The cross has won the ultimate victory. And you know, it's like, resist the devil and he will flee from us. I do believe, I mean, y'all can call me silly, I do believe that a believer can get to the point in their life where they don't even think about the devil.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, it's not even a, like, you know, it's like, I'm so fixated on him, and I'm so amazed by him. Like, do they recognize the tactics of the enemies around them and fighting? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like they're not living every day trying to rebuke a devil off their life because they're walking in victory.
Exactly.
And we can get to that point.
Well, it's the next part of the verse, and he will flee.
He will flee.
Once he's gone.
Exactly.
It doesn't say he's going to, I mean, we do know for until, like, there's walking in victory, he will come back because he'll keep trying to see if there's a weakness. But once he sees that there's no more, like, there's nothing else, I mean, he's not going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
There is a point where there's just going to be walking in victory, and he might still scheme, and there might be things happen in life, but it's not going to be like the way that it was when you weren't walking in victory. Yeah.
I like Damon's quote. It just hit my mind. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. He said, what was it? A lot of the church is thinking how close to hell we can get and still make it into heaven. He said, how about how close to God we can get and still be on earth?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that stayed with me all these years. I'm like, absolutely, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Because it's, let's see here. Brother Adam said, before you can resist the devil, you have to draw near to God. The church needs to teach how to draw near to God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, like, and I mean, I do understand there's spiritual warfare. I absolutely understand that. But if spiritual warfare dominates your relationship,
yeah,
I think it's out of balance. I think it's out of order. Because the thing that should drive us is his beauty and his glory and its intimacy with the Father. And I mean, I understand we're in a fight. I understand we're in a war. I mean, last Sunday morning we were shouting and doing all that. I'm not against any of that. But think of, like, I think people wear down because everything's a constant war.
Mm.
But I do believe that, like, to me, who, if you had to say just off the top of your head, what disciple was the closest to Jesus?
John.
And John was the one that laid his head on his breast.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord is looking for a bride who will be in his presence.
Hmm.
And we always got to remember, the battle's not mine. The battle is his.
True.
And now, is there some real conversation we have around, like, We all know people who say, like, they're constantly in a fire and they're constantly in a battle and they're constantly in a trial. There is a real conversation to be had around sometimes that maybe that trial has nothing to do with God sending the trial. Maybe it's your disobedience. Maybe it's your unwillingness to submit to the word of God. Like, we can understand all these kind of things. But, like, we've got to quit living in this defeatist mentality. Like, we're very fatalistic in the church. Woe is me, woe is everybody, the devil's kicking all of our tails, the devil's doing this. No, I am a blood-bought, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, fired-up, born-again believer. I'm a son of the Most High God. I am the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. Wherever the sole of my foot touches, the soul's going to be my... I mean, we've got to quit acting like we're defeated and like we're fixing this fight, like we're trying to fight this thing and we're just going to do it so well that God's going to see it and it's going to be awesome. We're fighting a fixed fight. Like, the authority has already been granted. The keys of the kingdom is already ours. We just need to walk in what God has given us to walk and preaching the gospel, making disciples, seeing our communities transformed. And you know how we do that? We sit down with somebody and say, hey, look, your life is a wreck.
Yeah.
But I know one who can fix it all.
Man.
And here's what I found. When the Lord gets a hold of somebody, it's not that they stop watching this or stop drinking that. Their job performance changes, the way their spouse changes, the way their a parent changes, the way they spend their money changes, the places they go changes, the kind of how they keep their houses and keep their cars changes, how they do everything. It begins to shift into mode.
True.
And so society changes when the gospel infiltrates,
mm-hmm.
not because of power and excursion, but because of influence and transformation. And if you want a drug epidemic to stop, it's not about the laws made. It's about the hearts of men.
Yeah.
Let the gospel penetrate a community and drugs start to fall off.
Yeah.
let the gospel and let Jesus begin to change hearts. And all of a sudden, these things start to shift. Pornography stops losing its grip, and sexual immorality and the child sex trafficking agent. I mean, all these things, they stop. The gospel is the answer, not laws, not this. It's the gospel. It's the heart of men that's the problem.
We need to get our eyes fixated on him, because so long people's got their eyes on everything else. When Peter got out of the boat, his eyes were fixated on Jesus, until he decided to not keep his eyes on Jesus. He looked at everything else. He began to sink. And if we keep our eyes focused on the prize and be like Enoch, you know, walk with God till you was not. You know, there's so many things that I feel like Aaron's saying. I even heard Damon, but years ago, I think you played it here at the church. And it may not have been you, but somebody did. Anyways, he said these warlocks, they were talking about warlocks. They met a warlock or something. And he was talking, he had, I guess, been converted or something. Mm-hmm. And he talked about they would curse people with the little flame. And he said, then there would be people who were engulfed in the flame. He said, we didn't touch them. Mm-hmm. He said, we knew it wouldn't do us any good to even try to attack people who were like their whole bodies were on fire. He said, because it would bounce off them and come back on us.
Yeah.
So they would leave it alone. Like, so there you go. There's your answer. Be engulfed by Jesus. Be inflamed by him. And the fire of God, don't let it just be a little light. And I remember Lance used to say, all darkness is no light. So turn the light on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to do. You know, we turn the light on, people start, oh, goodness. You know, they see something different. They got to see something different in us. And I think that's where we allow God to just engulf us.
Mm-hmm.
And we become captivated by him and keep our focus linear on him. Just,
well, I want to add one thing to that. I'm not trying to take away. I want to add. Yeah. You let the Lord engulf, but you put the flame. Like the ignition of the ignition of the flame has been lit.
Yeah.
The growing of the flame and the ongoing upkeep of the flame is up to us.
Yes.
I think that's the important part we don't talk about enough is that we want the Lord just to continue to pour fire out. He started the fire. He gave us the fire. Yeah. Now it's up to us to keep the fire going on the altar.
Exactly.
And that fire and the bigness of your fire is not God's responsibility. The bigness or the greatness of your fire is your responsibility to keep putting wood on there. Exactly. And the more wood you put on there, the more he can engulf, the more he can keep blowing, the more oxygen he can put on there. But unless you're willing to put the wood on there, that fire is going to dwindle.
That's right.
That fire is going out, and it's not going to be God's fault whenever you sit there and look at your, as Kevin Wallace said, in a winterless chill. Like, you know, it's on us. Like, this is our responsibility. And if we would be, I'm going to say this, and hear my heart, because it's not saying we don't ever fix issues in the church or anything. If we would be more concerned about us putting woods on our own fire instead of talking about the lack of the wood in our neighbor fire, our lives would be dramatically different.
Amen.
I mean, it'd be dramatically different. And I just like, I want to teach people how to put more wood on. I want to have so much wood on me and in my fire and my fire burning so deep that I don't have to go up to people to try to convince them. They're just like, what do you got? What is different about you?
Yeah.
Why don't you participate? Why? What is different about you? Like, Paul had so much wood on his fire, his clothes were getting people healed.
Mm-hmm.
Peter had so much wood on his fire that he was spending so much time with the Lord that he walked out and his shadow got people healed. It wasn't anything about them. It's not their power, but it was their willingness to stay in the presence of God and keep putting wood on it. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to put more wood on this fire. And I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to open my Bible and put some more wood on this fire. I'm going to turn on this worship song, and I'm going to put some more wood on this fire. This fire will never burn out.
Yeah, man. It gives me the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. You know, stir up the gift. Stir up what's inside of you already. Stir it up. And it's time for us to stir ourselves up and others. And because, like Jesus has already, like Aaron said, Jesus already done it. He's finished it. It's already there. We have to just basically dig up the well, stir it up inside of you. And it's almost like, and people are like, oh, you're st-. No, I said, we have to steer ourselves up. That's like steering. It's like poking, just getting the fire going, poking at it, you know, like putting the coals on it, breathing on the fire. You know, it's time to awaken ourselves. And I know people think that's crazy, but you have to steer yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a coming a time where we're going to need what has already been downloaded in us, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that. We have to sometimes the tenacity of reaching down and just pulling it out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that really just, I like what Aaron said about that, you know, just poking the fire,
mm-hmm.
keep it going, keep it lit. And we can do that. And sometimes when you got to help others too, spread the fire. The Lord told me the other day, he says, if you'll burn, they'll burn. And I was like, man, that's amazing. You know, just,
yeah,
we have to stop thinking everybody else is trying to make them burn when we're not even burning.
Yeah.
He said, if you burn, they'll burn. And he was talking about, I was saying my kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
and watching them do worship. And it's beauty to watch yeah. your kids lift their hands and you're not even telling them. You know, people are like, oh, they're just mimicking you. I said, well, sometimes I'm not even doing it and they start doing it.
Well, that's a good thing to mimic if they are. Rather a mimic that than yeah, something
that's
else.
That's true.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to go to break. Then we're going to come back here with Miss Heather Hodges. We're going to preach the house down. Hallelujah. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood, June 19, 2024. And we are excited for what the Lord has in store for us. We got none other than the one, the only Miss Heather Hodges on the air with us this morning. How are you, Miss Heather?
I'm doing wonderful. How's everybody doing?
Well, Jacob's on Wednesday, so we're surviving.
oh, my God.
Amen. Well, it's good to have you. I don't know how I missed you being on the calendar, Miss Heather, so I'm excited to have you on here. We are doing great this morning, so we'll get right into it. What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord doing in this moment?
Isn't he doing? He's so good. So first and foremost, it is this, I don't even know, it's been an eternity since I have been on WBFI. It's been like the longest time. Probably it's been 3 or more years. So what an awesome privilege to get to be back on and to get to be with God's people and to just spread a message of hope and love and Jesus. And so I really am so appreciative to get to be on and for this opportunity. So thank you all for having me. That means a lot to me. So that's my intro.
Love it.
It's like probably the longest 50-second intro ever, but anyways, that's okay. But no, what is the Lord doing? So gosh, I don't know where to start. So anybody that knows me knows that what you see is what you get. So when I'm sitting here trying to think, that's the real me. It's just me. But the goodness of the Lord, let's see. So earlier this year, the Lord began to speak to me about transitioning into a time of activation. And so moving from just talking about the things of the Lord into actually doing the things of the Lord, which goes completely into the scripture about, you know, not just be doers of the word or hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And then, you know, also, you know, they'll know us by the demonstration of the Spirit of God, but also our love. And so to just moving into that realm, seeing God doing really cool things, and so just wanting to be obedient and to flow in what the Lord is wanting to do. And so Brother Aaron, I go between Brother Aaron, Pastor Aaron. You know I love you. You're my pastor. But anyways, Sunday's message was so powerful because it really has been going into so much of, on Thursday nights, the Bible study at my house, what the Lord has been teaching me to teach to the young ladies and the ladies that come. I mean, we're all ages, really. But is, you know, it's time to move past just regular study. It's time to be activated and to move into activation. And so that's really what the Lord has been speaking on my heart or speaking to me about. And that's what I've been trying to flow in and just be obedient with. So, yeah, amen. There's that.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah comes on Thursday night, so.
Yes, it's been awesome. And I have this book here, too, that we've been going through. I was showing Jacob, the strong man's his name, what's his game. And I love that, like, we're able to read this book and get an idea. But also, I just love how the Holy Spirit takes over. And you know, it's not always, you're prepared. I mean, I can tell you're prepared. I see your huge book with all these notes and stuff. But I think that in itself is a good teaching for us that come to the group of, like, to be prepared, but to let the Spirit do what he wants to do. Because Amen. A lot of times, you know, like last time, it was awesome. I mean, there's just a guy walking down the street and then you're like, get him, Jesus, and invite him up to pray for him. And you know, and I think that those two young girls that were there that day, I don't know how old they were, probably like 8, 9, 10 around that age. I mean, I think that was part of why we saw the Spirit move on the girl, and she wanted what she said, something like, I want what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of it, was she was getting to see, like, the gospel in action rather than just being talked about.
Hannah, gosh, have mercy. I try to contain myself when I'm on, like, public radio or, like, sometimes, you know, I've been on TV before, like, with my job and stuff. And, you know, I try to behave, but sometimes I just get so excited about the things that Jesus does because we, you know, how cool. I was so humbled when she said that because I really want people to know my heart. It has nothing to do with me. It's just I really want to just love Jesus and just be Jesus to people. Not be Jesus, but be like Jesus to people. And
yes.
My whole thing was, you know, that the study that we're doing is understanding the different strongholds that are listed in the Bible. And so, like, talking about spirit of fear, spirit of you know, divination, all these different spiritual things that people, you know, may experience, but also what is the root of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea, the concept was that night I was going to be teaching on understanding the spirit of divination and what witchcraft really looks like and what that is. And then I just see this guy walking outside my house on the sidewalk, right? And out of nowhere, which it was really the Holy Spirit, unction of the Holy Ghost, I just start screaming. I'm like, catch him! And I swear, I don't mean to be that way. But then these two young kids, like 9 and 10 years old, they jump up and they swing open my front door and they're like, hey, sir! And then we get to minister to him, and it turns out that he was Hindu. And get to love on him and talk to him about Jesus. And, you know, he didn't accept Jesus, but a seed was planted, and it was so cool. And there's a whole thing behind all that, but I'll spare you all the details. But anyway, and the cool thing was, you know, every time I went in to try to teach about understanding the spirit of divination, the Lord began to move in different ways. And at one point, I just told everybody, I know you come to learn about this. I said, but Jesus is wanting you to see what the real deal is, you know? And it was just, like, so cool. And there was a young girl, she's probably about 10, and God just moved so mighty. And I was crying because it just really humbled me. But she said, she came up to me, very quiet, very meek, and she just said, I want what you have. I want to do what you do, and I want Jesus. I want to be saved. And I was like, oh, my God.
It was the sweetest thing.
Oh, it was just the most precious, precious thing. And she got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then, like, after all that was done, I asked her, I said, do you want to be baptized? And so we end up over at Sister Charlotte Nichols' house in her pool. And there was, like, 7 people that got baptized. And we had, like, a full service of Silas backyard. And then in the meantime of all that, before we did all that, I felt like the Lord told me that it was time to take Clarkson back for Jesus. And so there was, I don't even know how many women were there. I don't know, Hannah. But anyways.
Probably like 10 or 15. That's what it felt like.
I don't know. But there was enough banners for everybody. So everybody got a banner. And I just told everybody we're just going to march the streets in Clarkson. And it was like 8:30 at night. It was so awesome. And so we're singing at the top of our lungs, which I cannot sing, but let me tell you something. I don't give a rip. I'm going to tell people about Jason. So anyway, so I can't sing a tune, but I thank God Kaylee was there and Hannah was there and my singers, the people that got good voices were there. And they were just, we were just belting out worship to Jesus, and we had our banners and we were praying in tongues and we were worshiping Jesus and we were just loving on him. And then after that, then we went over to Starless for the baptism service. And we didn't all go home till like almost midnight. But it was, there is no time in heaven. And sometimes the time constraints that man put on things is to fulfill the flesh and not the things of the spirit. And we have to move past those borders. And we have to be obedient to the things of the spirit. Now, I'm not saying that there can't be structure and order. But what I am saying is that if you don't allow the spirit of God to flow, then you've automatically put a hindrance on what he can and will do.
Yes.
Not that he's not God, not that he can't do it, but he is also one that wants to be invited. He wants to be opened up and says, you know, okay, you want me to be here, you want me to take control, you want me to be the Lord of your life or the Lord of this situation or to move. And he will do it. But he wants that permission. He wants that ability to just take over because we have our free will. And he gives us a choice every day. You know, you wake up. Are you going to choose to serve me? Are you going to serve your flesh? Are you going to serve Satan? Mm. What are you going to do? You have to choose this day what you're going to do. And and I think that that's our choice to get up every day and say, Lord, I choose you. I surrender to you. Take my day. Take my time. Take what I've got and just use it and whatever that looks like, you know. And I have work the next day, you know. I usually start my work day on Eastern time, and so midnight is kind of late to be getting, I mean, midnight is when it ends. I don't usually get to bed till about 1, and people are like, well, that's just stupid. But you know what? I would rather be obedient to the Lord and sacrifice my sleep than deny the access of the Holy Spirit to move and have comfort.
Mm.
And I think we have to move past those things. Mm. And anyways, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but that's just where my heart's at, and yeah, so.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so true, because I think sometimes we get so comfortable in our routine, and, you know, I just think about the disciples. I mean, they just followed Jesus. Like, they just followed him. Like, he was the one directing them. They took up their cross and they followed him. They left those things behind, the comforts, their norm behind. And I think, especially in America, we get so comfortable, and we get so caught up in our routine. And, you know, if Jesus is the Lord of our life and we're not the Lord of our life, then I think our time, you know, it has to be his to make those decisions. And what I've found, you know, it's not always easy, like when you have somewhere to be that you have to wake up early the next morning, but he always refreshes, like he's with you that day, that next day. You know, it's not like, and plus the joy of what he did is enough to carry you through, no matter what you have to face after a night like that. So,
yeah. And that's why, you know, I'm probably the strange one that, I mean, when Pastor Aaron's always like, you know, I've got 15 more minutes or just a few more slides or I don't know what all, whatever, you know. I'm just like, who cares? Just go. You know, because in my heart, I'm just like, what does Jesus want to say to us? You know, we get to have, we have a banqueting table where we get to pull up our chair every day to Jesus and say, okay, Dad, what do you want to feed me? What do you want to give to me? What do you want from me? But then the table is so beautiful that he allows us permission to come and feast, but then to come and bring others to sit beside us and to feast too, and to help feed them. And the thing is that we can't feed off of an empty table. Mm-hmm. We can't feed out of an empty place. We have to be filled. We have to be full. And it's not just on the responsibility of Brother Aaron or the deacons or the elders or whoever to pour into us. It's our responsibility to pull our table, our chair up to the table of Christ and say, okay, God, feed me. And then let me not just get so gluttonous and so full that I contain this for myself, but let me just pour out, you know, everything that's been given to me so that in turn other people can be fed and other people can be full. And then they can pour out and then they can pull their chair up and get refilled and refed. And then let's go back out again, you know. And so that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of evangelism. That's the beauty of operating in the gifts of the Spirit, is that there is room for everybody at the table. Mm. Nobody is excluded. Nobody doesn't get to have their. Everybody's got elbow room. If you've ever eaten with somebody that's left-handed, oh my gosh, they're like, I need room to eat. I gotta move, you know. And I'm over there like, leave me alone. I just want to sit next to you. Of course, I'm probably the one people are like, oh my God, give me some space. Like, give me some space. But anyways, but my point is that there's always room at the table with Jesus. And there's always space. And he has plenty of space for all of us to pull up a chair and to partake. And anyway, so, yeah.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Yeah, you know, you saying that, Heather, reminded me of something, and I don't think Ethan would mind me sharing this. I don't think he would. It was like when we first started, maybe the few years into us dating, and, you know, we were talking about the Lord, and he's grown so much in the Lord since then, but I remember him saying something like, I don't want to ask the Lord. The Lord has a lot of better things to worry about than my problems, or like he has so many other people to take care of and answer their prayers. And he was like, so I don't want to bother him. And that was kind of like the mindset that he had. And sometimes I think that people have that mindset, even still in the church, you know, because he was saved at that point, but just hadn't been discipled or anything. And what you're saying is like, it just reminded me of that conversation we had, because there is no respecter of persons. There is no, one problem greater than the other. There's room for all of us, to feast and even Kaylee, you know, that vision that she saw of, you know, the Lord's garment, the Jesus's garment in the sanctuary. And there's enough tassels for everybody. Mm-hmm. There was enough room around those tassels for every single person. And, I do think that people, they, from the enemy to keep people from getting to that table.
Yeah.
Because once they get to that table, they don't want to leave.
You know, one thing I love about you, Heather, I've known you for a long time, and is how full of God that you just are, so full of God, and people are drawn to that. And people that, when, if you've ever met Heather, it's just this bubbly love of God that's just in her, and it's not empty. It's full of all everything, knowledge and wisdom, that people are drawn to that. And the Lord was telling me, you know, get full of me and people will be drawn to you.
Mm.
And not that we want them drawn to Jacob or Heather, but we want them drawn to that Jesus person inside of us. And
well, think about the city on the hill, right? We don't hide our flame. We don't hide our light under a bushel, but we sit it out so that everybody can see, because we're supposed to draw men to Jesus. And the only way to do that is if we are that light. And Amen. So we get that opportunity to be that light every day.
Amen.
And I think that's very humbling, but super awesome to get to do that.
Amen. It's almost like I remember being out with Heather, and like people just don't know how to take her sometimes. It's like she'll be in the middle of, we'll be going out, and it's just, there's this something in her. It's like it confuses the enemy when she comes on the scene. It's like, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, like these people are like, I want to run away, but I want to hear what she has to say. You know, but that's that gift inside of her. You know, it's almost like the enemy is like, oh no, this. Oh, I don't, you need to run right now. But it's like the grip has already got them, and they want it. It's like a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like there's people are wondering what's in them, because there's something different. There's nothing I've met before. It's something that I've not seen, you know. And that's why I think that people are drawn to that, you know, and it's almost like an invitation for the Spirit of God to move in their life, and they sense it, you know, they see it. So
yeah, and you know, we've talked about this too on Thursday nights about Kaylee, I guess she had an experience with Heather, like basically telling a atheist or agnostic person to get over here, like come over here, and they just listen. She's like, I don't understand, even the atheists listen to her. and oh, but it's not listening to her, it's yeah. it's that authority that she's walking in, and it's like they follow, they listen, yeah. you know, if she's asking them to come for prayer. And so the thing that I love about you though, Heather, is you're like, you all can have this too, like this isn't just me, yeah. like you empower and you're yeah. uplifting other people to know that you're just walking with the Lord, and yeah. you're being an example. But if we are born again and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, then we can operate in these same things. We just have to know who we are.
And that's part of the thing on Thursday nights too, you know, that and anybody that comes, it's a forewarning. Everyone, well, I mean, it's for women, but I mean, I guess anybody can come, but it's for women. But women, you know, like when you come, I want you to come, but I also, it's in love, and I think that everybody that's there hopefully can attest to this, but I challenge people, you know. I call on people. I'm like, okay, come on up. You're going to pray for this, you know, or what is the Lord showing you? You know, and it's not to embarrass and it's not to put people on the spot, but the thing is you have to think about that's how Jesus taught people,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says, you know, I'm the way, the truth, the life. There's nobody else. You can't come to the Father except through me. But and this is the beautiful thing about when he was getting ready to ascend to heaven, and he says, now I know you all want me to stay. I know you want me to stay here. I know you want me to be with you, but I have to go because I'm going to send you the Comforter. And he's going to come fill you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be the little Christians, the little Christ-like ones on the earth, filled with my Spirit. But if I don't go, if I don't ascend, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And so I've got to go so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in you, and I can be in you and work through you. And so because he left, he gave us that gift to now be able to invade the earth wherever our feet go, because he's in us and we have the Spirit of God in us. We get to do that in the earth every day. And so I think that's the thing is, you know, at these meetings a lot, like some of the ladies are like, why did you want me to do it? And I'm like, because I'm only one person and I can only go so far, but there are 10, 15 of us at this meeting. And wherever you go with that boldness activated, you can do anything through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, you know, so I challenge people.
Yeah.
I tell, you know, I try to help people see this is not just for Heather Hodges. This isn't just for Aaron Wilson. This isn't just for Jacob Swift. This isn't just for Hannah Hayes. This is for anybody, whoever wants more can have more. Yeah. Whoever wants to partake in more can have more. And we're called to that. We're called to be those things in the earth. We're called to do the works of the Father. But why? Not for our own purposes, but because we're to be a reflection of him. And we can only reflect what we spend time doing and being. And so, you know, like, you know, little girls, they want to be like their mamas. They want to put on their makeup and they want to, you know, do those things because they watch their mother do those things. It's the same thing when we're admiring Christ, when we are adoring him, when we are with him. He is all that we can emulate, and that's what he wants. He wants us to be imitators of him. He wants us to be like him and to do what he desires to have done. And so anyway, so on those Thursday evenings, you know, sometimes, you know, I've had women go, well, I don't want to. And I'm like, well, I know you don't want to, but you are, and it's okay. You know, and
so far, nobody tells her no. That's what I'm saying, because it's not her. It's the Lord speaking. Like, I know when it's the Lord speaking to me through somebody and when it's just their flesh, like, trying to pressure me into doing something. It's not pressuring. It's like the Lord has given an invitation.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a calling up. It's a calling into, this is, this is a gifting I've seen on your life, and right now you're not fully operating in it, but you want to, and you're kind of dabbling with it. And so I'm calling you in. I'm giving you permission to come and to bring that gift and to shine for Jesus, not for yourself, but for Jesus, and to activate those gifts.
Yep.
Because as you activate them and as you build that confidence in Christ, not your own earthly confidence, because that's crap, but as you, sorry, I know that's probably not godly language, whatever. Anyways, rebuke me later. I don't care. But anyways, sorry, Aaron, I hope I don't get in trouble. Anyway, but... long story short, that's crud, whatever. Anyway, the thing is as you build godly confidence, then you can unlock the gift of the kingdom. And because that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to learn to listen and to respond, to listen and to respond, to listen and to respond. And the only way we can do that is if we practice it and if we take risks. And I tell people all the time, if you take a risk and you fail, if you do it in the name of the Lord and you do it with the right spirit, there's grace.
Yeah.
And there's always grace. And I've messed up 1,001 times. I've given words and I'm like, well, I don't know. But sometimes it's the humility of, all right, well, that, I don't know what that was, but I did it. And I'm going to keep doing it because eventually you are going to get the words accurate and you are going to be able to do those things. In Jesus' name and for Jesus, not for yourself.
True. I mean, it's like what you're doing is inspiring. You're inspiring people. You're inspiring them to take action in what God has given them and not trying to do it for them, but inspiring them to do what God has put inside of each and every one of us. And that's just what fathering is, really. You father these kids or mother these kids, you're teaching them how to do it on their own, because we're not always going to be around. And that's the beauty of the Father, is teaching people how to do what you've been taught to do. Someone taught you how to do this. Your spiritual mentor, father, mother has taught you how to do this. It's time for people of God to rise up. Mm-hmm. And if you've been trying to be fathered for 50 years of your life, I mean, maybe it's time for you to get up. And maybe it's time for you to start fathering others, take some people under your wing and start inspiring them. And that's where God's been having me at, you know, take some people and inspire them and help them.
And love on them, love on them, encourage them, push them, you know, help them to see, you know, listen. You know, and just like with Paul and Timothy, you know, like, don't let them despise you because you're young. Now you need to be in order and you need, there's a purpose and there's a plan and there's order and there's structure. But don't let them despise you because you're young, because the Spirit of God is, it's not old, it's not young, it's not male, it's not female. It's holy, and that's really all, it's holiness, complete and total holiness is what it is.
Amen.
And so if we are holy in Him and we're responding in that holiness, then God can be magnified in that.
Amen.
You know, and you know, I think about Thursday night, there was a blessing on generations. And what I mean by that is Charlotte, you know, of course I won't divulge her age on the air. But you know, she's of an older generation. And, you know, she is like, you know, a spiritual mother to me, but she's mentored me. And I mean, there's times she skinned me alive and then put me back together through Jesus, you know, but she did it in love. And it was beautiful, you know, that day we went over there with the baptism, because it was her pool, but it was like, you know, when you look at the wells that were dug, you know, here is this woman who has labored in love and labored in prayer and labored and labored and labored and labored. And then here comes this kid that she's taken under her wing at 23 years old and loved and mentored. And now I'll be 41 in September. And then here comes, it's going to make me cry, but here comes all these younger kids, and then you got this 10 and 9 year old that's in tow behind even the younger kids, you know. And it's like this is the lineage of Jesus, this is the lineage of Christ and His kids, and what He wants to do in the earth. I mean, we're like amazing in Jesus, and I think the enemy convinces us that we're not, and we can't do these things because we're not this or we're not that, but Jesus says, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world, and I have endued you with power from on high. Go do the works of your Father. And we get to do this every day.
it's an everyday gospel. It's an everyday thing. It's an every minute thing. And it's like, Lord, let me not fall short of the mandate that you've given me to raise up a generation in your name and to do your work. Because I can't go everywhere. I can't be everywhere. But I sure can love on people, and I sure can pour into their life, and I sure can preach truth and send them out in Jesus' name and say, go ye into all the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bringing them into the fullness of the gospel. And that is what we're called to do. That is our mandate. That's our requirement, and that's where God's at in this last day, is raise up a generation, teach them where they should go, teach them how to be godly. And if you train them up in that way, they won't depart from it, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is truth. And where the Word of God is proclaimed and declared, it will not return void, but it is faithful to go forth and accomplish that which is assigned. And that's what we're called to do.
Amen. Well, what a way to wrap up this broadcast. We are out of time, but amen. I pray that listeners, they receive from that. And thank you so much, Heather, for coming on again on your day off. We really appreciate you and love you so much.
Oh, I love all of you guys. And may Jesus bless all of you abundantly today with health and wisdom and all things. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Love you all.
Love you. We'll talk to you later.
Amen. Bye. See you, Heather.
All right. This is it for this morning. We'll be back here 7 a.m. Central Time tomorrow on Mornings of the Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.